There are two quotes in the beginning of the book, page 3 and page 6, which I think will illustrate what you just said. One of them was, linear perspective tends to ignore its own artifice, is one of the things it said. And another one, you mentioned the arbitrariness and incompleteness of any quote-unquote total view. So linearity itself is a distortion, you might say, even though people would characterize it not as being that way.
Yeah, and that's the reason why I dedicate so many pages to this device of anamorphosis in my book, because anamorphosis, which follows the logic of linear perspective, it doesn't completely disrupt that logic, but it takes it to the to its most extreme. And by doing that, it reveals this arbitrariness, this artificiality of linear perspective, and showing us that, yes, there is one point of view where from where legibility is possible, where an organizing principle is possible, but you just move from that point of view and suddenly you are facing the monster.
And the monster being?
The monster being insignificance, lack of meaning, lack of an organizing principle, lack of truth, lack of stability.
So anamorphosis is one of the approaches in the book discussed and characterized as a distortion. Can you elaborate on how you decided this is the way you're going to characterize them and talk about metaphor and Baroque irony as opposed to Romantic irony and some of the other distortions?
Wow, this is difficult. So I thought that this contrast between linear perspective and anamorphosis would be just a great example of two worldviews, the classical worldview and the Baroque worldview. A great way to illustrate the contrast between the illusion of transparency as sold to us by classical sensibility, that there is a reality that through language, through architecture, through sculpture, through painting, we can represent, or that there is no such a thing as a reality beyond representation. So all these devices of distortion, anamorphosis, for example, disrupt the illusion of representation. So it is in that sense that I think it allows me to explore Baroque expression. Anamorphosis is just one example among many of the devices used in Baroque. The exasperated metaphor that we find in Quevedo, for example, or the hyperbaton that we see in the writing of Góngora, or even when you read Santa Teresa talking about parenthetic language, Santa Teresa is all about a sentence that is bringing another sentence, folding it into another sentence as a way to an horizon that is never approaching. And that horizon is the horizon of the mystical experience. So all these are forms of distortion that allows us to explore what does it mean to find expression to a worldview that is crumbling.
Talking about the book Latin American Neo-Baroque Senses of Distortion, and the author is Pablo Baller, I'm Paul Nelson. I think what we need is a visceral image in our minds to sort of ground all this kind of abstraction that we're talking about. And to understand the historical Baroque, Don Quixote is one example you give, but the painting from the year 1656, Las Meninas by Diego Velázquez, is another. Can you discuss that painting, the distortions being used, and maybe how that fits into your thesis?
Yeah, so you're talking about the ambassadors. You're talking about Las Meninas.
The view of the painting is what royalty, the view that royalty
yes.
would have had.
Yes.
And not only is this painter giving us a view that no commoner would ever have,
yes.
but then he's also painting himself
yes.
into the portrait.
Yes.
As someone described it, he did the world's first photobomb
mm-hmm. yeah.
by doing that.
Yes, and selfie. Selfie
it's
and
very, there you go.
Yeah. Yeah, well, it's the same as in Don Quixote. This is a great visual example of perspectivism, which is, again, going back to the organizing principle, the impossibility of finding one perspective that would allow you to construct a vision of reality.
So with Don Quixote, we have him and we have Pancho. So we have the two different protagonists, if you will.
Yes, and then all the secondary characters that bring other perspectives to the story.
Right.
So, you know, the great example in Don Quixote would be the Basiyelmo, the
helmet.
The helmet that he thinks, the basin that he thinks is a helmet.
Is a barbershop basin.
A barbershop.
He confuses it as a helmet that makes him invincible.
Yeah.
And even though he's told, no, this is just a barbershop basin, he said, he cleverly disguised it as that so no one would be hip to his tricks.
Right. And the interesting thing, and this is something eventually we need to get to, is the impossibility of grounding, of anchoring any particular point of view. That's the trick of Baroque perspective and perspectivism in general. It's not that at some point you say, okay, it is a helmet. Okay, it is a barber basin. You don't know. You are stuck like a butterfly in a collection, unable to go one way or the other. And that's also, you know, why Anamorphosis is a great example, because it's not just that it is the monster. It's not just it is legible. It's that you cannot decide. The unsayability, the perspective of impossibility of saying is what makes a Baroque expression so monstrous.
Meanwhile, not long after this, Keats is talking about the notion of negative capability and being a quality in literature, where you find yourself in the midst of doubts and uncertainties without any irritable reaching after fact or reason. So it's being open, essentially, is what it is.
Open.
So it's interesting to see the parallel in that.